Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
This is Pam Shriver.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Look, I know we had crowds in today, and so things feel a bit 2019, but I can't think of a more eventful opening day of a US Open than that, particularly on Arthur Ashe Stadium Court. The fact that it's 9 p.m. local time and the evening session is just about to start. There have been about 15,000 people waiting outside the court for the last 2 hours for Andy Murray to finish his match against Stefanos Tsitsipas. And it has just been everything we could have hoped for, really, in terms of competitive opening matches on the main stadium court. And there was aggro as well, Catherine. So, you know, we'll take that.
It was a massively eventful opening day in a completely different way to the way that opening days of Grand Slams are usually eventful. They're usually eventful in a completely chaotic feeling of, oh my goodness, I can't keep across everything. I need so many screens. Oh, I've missed something. That just perpetual feeling of FOMO. And fear that you might be missing some drama unfolding. Today, I had the feeling of a really brilliant semi-final day where you know exactly where to look. You build it up and it exceeds expectations somehow. Yeah. It was wonderful, but in a slightly strange way for an opening day. I feel like a lot of other brilliant stuff probably happened that I don't know very much about. So the last 10 minutes of this podcast, when we sort of do any other business, could be quite interesting.
the performance Andy Murray put in tonight, if you haven't seen it, he lost in 5 sets to Stefanos Tsitsipas, despite having led 2-1. I can't think of him playing a better match than that in about 5 years. I really can't. I think I'm going back to 2016. I didn't think about physical fitness once in that match, Matt. He had, you know, one or two aches and pains, and he had all the sweat issues and all the rest of it. But it was Tsitsipas who was struggling physically more than he was. And I thought I'd never feel like that watching an Andy Murray match again. Mm. This wasn't like when he fought back from 2 sets love down a year ago at the US Open, or when he got the crowd involved at Wimbledon and managed to somehow win that match. This is against the third seed Stefanos Tsitsipas going toe-to-toe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, you've taken the words out of my mouth. I was going to say we've had some really special Andy Murray moments over the last couple of years, kind of starting with that Roberto Bautista-Agut match at the Australian Open, and then last year's US Open, coming back from 2 sets down against Nishioka, and Wimbledon this year was pretty special. But that felt like in all of those occasions, he was squeezing every last drop of his past out of him and was somehow back on the court and performing at that level again. Today felt so different. Today felt like I was thinking about Andy Murray in the future. I was thinking about, oh my goodness, Andy Murray can play like this? Like, I didn't know that was possible anymore. And it just gave me such a different feeling to all those other matches I've listed there. This was really stunning. how well Andy Murray played. And it wasn't just well for a guy with a metal hip. Yes, it was that. Of course it was. It was truly extraordinary when you consider that context. But it was well. Andy Murray played really well today. He went toe-to-toe with the third seed and pushed him all the way. It was just a great tennis match.
This, Catherine, is what he has been saying to you in the interviews you've done that he believes is in him and is going to be his future again, which, frankly, I've tended to roll my eyes at or at least think, yeah, right, mate. And that was what he did today. And I scarcely believe it, really. But I mean, should he have won today?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he left the court absolutely fuming. I mean, mostly it's Stefanos Tsitsipas. More on that to come, I hope. But also, I think, fuming himself, because he let that match out of his grasp. Whereas when he lost the second set, he came straight back out and broke at the start of the third. It was a real show of experience, I thought, to wrench back momentum from Tsitsipas. The opposite happened when he lost the fourth set. He allowed Tsitsipas to get an early break at the start of the fifth, and who knows whether his irritation, to put it mildly, at Tsitsipas' 7-minute bathroom break contributed to that. I don't think it did, because I think Andy Murray played really quite well in that fifth set, and Tsitsipas was really hard as nails. You know, Andy Murray had at least, he had 15-40, didn't he, on the Tsitsipas serve, had a couple of breakback points. He had 30-40 in another game. I think he had chances, and Tsitsipas played brilliantly on all of those points, I think. So I'm not sure the regrets come there, but yeah, he will have regrets. He should have won that match. He should have beaten the world number three today. And it never felt like he was hanging on by his fingertips, did it? I mean, I never felt sort of comfortable, safe and secure in the feeling that Andy Murray was going to go on and win. But I wasn't wincing or worrying that it was all going to fade away, or that he was only ever one misstep away from starting to clutch at his hip again and look weary, as he has done so often. It, as Matt said, it just had a completely different feel about it. I was just able to properly sit back, relax and enjoy watching Andy Murray be a tennis player and bring the aggro.
Because, I mean, for a start, his game, there was a potency to it. He was causing Tsitsipas trouble throughout, standing up to his best stuff, really taking charge with his backhand. It felt like he could do whatever he wanted with his backhand today, like when he was at his best, really. Hitting out on the forehand, had the confidence to go down the line, hitting lots of aces. But, I mean, you're right, there was a lot of drama going on. I mean, for a start, if we just go back to the second set, he was slipping around on his own sweat and fell over and lost out a chance to end the set in the tiebreak, and was complaining about his shoes, which just appeared to not exist apart from the ones he had on the court. That's a bit of a problem.
I think the shoes themselves were fine, but they were saturated with his sweat, weren't they? As were his, well, everything about his person was saturated to the point of transparency.
Which is a bit awkward.
As one of our followers on Twitter said, where's Jeff Tarango with his spare kit when you need him? he needed a full
Jeff,
outfit change.
I've heard you have the best shoes. I need them.
And I was thinking Leander Paes would have been good for this match. He's had experience helping with shoes in the past with Tsitsipas.
Yeah, and Andy Murray needed new trainers and had only brought one pair of trainers to New York, it would seem.
and he said in his press conference he just didn't think that it would be an issue. It didn't even
enter his mind. Are they sort of specially moulded his feet or something? Is it like ice skates where you wouldn't be able to just grab any old pair of trainers?
I think that's it. He needs his specific shoes. But
I heard at one stage you sent an SOS out to Dan Evans, which I was trying to work out how that's going
to
work.
There were a lot of cutaways to Jamie Delgado furtively texting with much speculation about what sort of shoe purveyors he might be attempting to contact. And then in a just marvelous act of trolling, Tsitsipas changes his own shoes as if to sort of show off that he's got shoes to burn.
I mean, I don't like to take issue and argue with Andy Murray and argue the toss, but it was the Wimbledon final of 2013 when he sent a member of his own team back to his house in order to get new shoes, which came and were brought back. I also remember the Australian Open when he started to get a blister and he got a couple of pairs of shoes dotted around the court, because I remember sitting courtside and looking at them. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure how he's forgetting these incidents.
I bet he packs for a holiday very differently to how I pack for a holiday, which is all eventualities, including those which are sort of physically impossible in the universe, like you might go to a rave. All those eventualities must be covered in your travelling shoe collection.
Murray did have his own kind of rave incidents with Stefanos Tsitsipas, who went to the toilet for too long. And
longer than Andy Murray's ever been to the toilet.
Andy Murray's never been to the toilet for 7 minutes. Think about that.
Yeah. I did a lot. I talked about it on air.
Wasn't happy, was he?
I mean, I say talked about. I said it on air and there was stony silence. Yeah.
And it became just a running thing with the umpire. I mean, he obviously knew coming onto the court, this could happen. I've seen it before. Saw the Zverev thing the other week. Don't get wound up, is what he went on to court thinking. And, he got wound up big time. And I mean, he let Tsitsipas know about it. He let the umpire know about it, supervisor. The handshake at the end was no-look handshake.
Wonderful. It was an immediate gif.
Yeah, and Murray said in his press conference that he lost respect for Tsitsipas tonight. And he described those bathroom breaks as nonsense.
I love the way Andy Murray says nonsense.
He really does say it well. Yeah. He means it.
Yeah.
And he said he was, you know, he said to Nicola, the ATP press supervisor, that he was thinking of not wanting to do press tonight because he just knew he was going to slam Tsitsipas. And he said, I didn't want it to come across as sour grapes.
But then he thought, no, I'm cool with it.
Cool with it. I'll do that. And I would have said the same if I'd won anyway. He thinks tennis has got a problem for not having addressed the bathroom break issue, which has been going on for many years now. We've been having these conversations. And he thinks Tsitsipas is exploiting it and taking advantage of it and pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable. And yeah, I was surprised, though, how much he let it get to him and fester. I think obviously he was annoyed, but a guy of Andy Murray's experience, I thought he might put it behind him after a few games, and yet it lasted the whole set. It lasted till the end of the match. He was cleaning up his stuff, effing and blinding about Tsitsipas.
He was compounding, I think, his annoyance with himself. It was snowballing, wasn't he? Because he became annoyed with himself, I think, for letting it get to him, but he was channeling that into annoyance at Tsitsipas, and he wandered over to Jerry Armstrong and said, it's cheating. You know, he put it out pretty plainly how he feels about that behaviour. Now, of course, according to the letter of the law, it is not cheating. And that is why you have this kind of debate. And Greg Rozetsky and Anki Othavong had a bit of a disagreement about it in our Prime Video studio. And Greg's view is, if it's within the rules, then kind of end of discussion. He said, everybody does it. But the thing is, not everybody does it to the same extent. And actually, I don't think everybody does do tactical bathroom breaks. Look, I don't know if Stefanos Tsitsipas, if either of his bathroom breaks today were tactical. I suspect the line between tactical and not tactical is a bit blurred, isn't it? You might think, oh, I, you know, I don't need a Wii, but I could Wii. Maybe I could also double that up with, you know, just a few minutes in some air conditioning to catch my breath and have a few words of myself in the mirror. You know, it's not a black and white, oh, I'm going to go off court and cheat for 8 minutes, you know. But, we've had this debate a lot, haven't we? I think something needs to change. I'm just so uncomfortable with a lot of the debate around the need for change and the lack of nuance in it. And I'm still yet to hear a proposal, including from myself, because I haven't got one, of a adequate solution.
Andy Murray did go off the court at the end of that US Open final and give himself a good talking to, didn't he, in the bathroom, which he's told us all about.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think his specific issue was the length of time that this one took.
Mm. When you know how close the locker rooms are, that second bathroom break, he didn't take his bag off court with him. So he had no kit. So that was just, let's not get too detailed on this, but he was just toileting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what a night, though. What a night we've had. It was so much fun. The shot making was amazing. The drama was there. I mean, it was proper Andy Murray US Open stuff.
He was so pumped. He wanted to, you know, I kept on thinking of that line he gave me in an interview, which I don't think ever ran in full, because I did it on the eve of his going to Miami and his intending to play there. And of course, he travelled to Miami and ended up not being able to play because one of his various niggles. When I asked him whether he thought tennis had moved on since he was last at the top of the game. And he's pretty adamant that whilst he's aware that he's not where he was, he also doesn't think tennis is in a different... He doesn't think tennis is in a different place. He thinks if he can just rediscover something even halfway close to where he was, then he can compete because the game hasn't moved on. And that is sort of an implicit criticism, isn't it, of, you know, your Tsitsipases and so on. It's not that he doesn't rate any of the attributes of Stefanos Tsitsipas. He just doesn't think that, you know, this lot are anything close to his generation, you know, the big four/five. And I felt like he was trying to show that tonight and really make a point of it.
Yeah, and just looking at the titles that Murray's won, and specifically the number of Grand Slam titles, history won't reflect how great Andy Murray was. You know, he was toe-to-toe with Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal for many, many years. And he beat Novak Djokovic in Grand Slam finals. He did extraordinary things.
At their peak.
At their absolute
peak. At all
peak,
of their peaks, really.
Completely. And that's the level that he is talking about, I think, when he says that, in terms of the game not moving on. And if he can get back to anything close to it. And he was the closest he's been in several years tonight. He knows he can compete, and we saw the evidence of it today. He's a phenomenal tennis player, Andy Murray. I think he's become so much more than that. He's become this, you know, incredibly great voice in tennis. He's become a sort of real inspiration for the way he's dealt with this injury and come back to what he is now. But for many, many years as well, he was a phenomenal top tennis player.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, great experience to watch it and commentate on it. And it followed another really good match onto the Arthur Ashe Stadium court, because that was Sloane Stephens beating Madison Keys 9-7 in a third set tiebreak, which, it lived up to expectations in as much as it was a good tennis match. It was a bit all over the place, and it was also a bittersweet experience to watch it, to see these two players that kind of should be much more than a first-round match at the US Open, but they gave it a right good go, and Stevens fended off Keys once more, and 9-7 in the third was the end result. That was at a point of the day when a lot of really high quality women's matches were going on, because Garbiñe Muguruza as well got a tightly fought victory against Donna Vekic. And actually, I think, Catherine, all the big names on the women's side pretty much came through today, even though there were a lot of them were pushed.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. They did. I mean, most people, I think, were picking an upset in Halep Georgi.
Yeah.
And okay, it was close, but it was a straight sets win for Simona Halep, and a big celebration from her afterwards. Look, I've got to confess, I didn't see any of that, bar I think I saw one point in the first set and then I saw the match point. But I don't think you can beat Camilla Giorgi in straight sets if you're properly injured. You know, she must be able to compete, you know, pretty well, which is great to see.
I thought Halep played really well. You know, it just felt like it was a Halep US Open moment happening all over again. You know, we've seen her have Kanepi, we've seen her have Sharapova, we've seen her have Taylor Townsend in these early rounds, and she's sort of been powerless to kind of do anything about it when those players have got going and she's lost those matches. But today she was up against Camilla Giorgi, who has all that potential to knock her off the court. And yet Halep was brilliant, doing all the things we associate with Halep, kind of absorbing the power, defending, some incredible movement towards the end. And Giorgi got a dead net cord and Halep sprinted up to it and actually missed the shot, but the movement was great. I think her leg was better than she was expecting, perhaps. She said she had trained without the big strapping and that had been more of a problem, so she did come onto court with the strapping, which looks quite alarming, but actually just to watch her play was to see a really good performance from Simona Halep. I was really impressed with her, and just as you said, a really big reaction from her afterwards. She knew that win was big.
We won't name our sources, but we were told that there were significant question marks around the fitness of Simona Halep, and I think we all removed her from our predictions.
Yes. Mm.
We'll protect our sources.
Mm. I tell you, Garbiñe Muguruza, her reaction upon beating Donna Vekic tonight as well, or this afternoon, 7-6, 7-6, that was similarly euphoric.
Mm.
And it was really lovely to see, actually, because I don't know, Muguruza, I think, is a player, she can be a joyous player to watch when she's enjoying it, when it looks like she's getting something out of it. And she seemed just really uplifted by the crowd presence. She got a massive ovation. I think there was relief there, because she said afterwards how difficult she finds Vekic sometimes, particularly in these Grand Slam matches. And yet Muguruza is in danger, I suppose, of being overtaken by so many of the other young players that are coming along. And yet she's still such a feature of the landscape. She's still capable of winning one of these or more. And I don't know, when she's happy on a tennis court, I feel quite happy watching her. I feel it's a nice, warm experience to see her looking as though she's enjoying it. And on that court, the Lewis Armstrong court, I mean, later on, probably the atmosphere of the day was to be found in the Coco Gauff against Magda Linette match, which could very easily have seen my prediction just hit the ground on day one, because I was setting a break down courtesy Coco Gauff until she just about rescued it. And she was very emotional at the end, Matt.
Yeah, she was, wasn't she? And I think very gritty performance from her, but just brilliant fight, and the crowd loved her and she loved them. And yeah, she was pretty much in tears during her on-court interview. And
I think it was relief at saving my hopes.
Yeah. She's got Sloane Stephens next, David.
Yes.
That could be good, couldn't it?
I had to do my predictions today due to time poverty without actually looking at the draw.
Here we go.
So I got very much reeled in by the case that you made for Coco Gauff. Oh. But then I looked at the draw after the fact and realised it's quite tricky for her, isn't it?
So where is she in your lineup?
I think I've got her losing in the semi-finals.
Yes, I think that's right. I think she's got Sloane Stephens and then most likely Angelique Kerber, who also came through epic today.
It's a rocky old path, David. I also, though, had John Isner featuring quite heavy. Well, yes, I certainly had him in my quarter-final lineup.
Yeah. Mm.
Me too.
Well, collective
it's
blow.
All anyone's been talking about is how quick these courts are. Apparently, they've made the courts quick for, quote, Riley Opelka and John Isner.
Who on earth would do that?
That, if it ever was a decent plan, has aged very badly.
Kerber 7-6 in the third over Yastremska.
Yeah, and Yastremska served for the match, and Kerber fought back. You know, lots of double fist pumping going on.
Was there aggro?
There wasn't aggro, I don't believe.
She doesn't get reeled in, Kerber.
How many winners do you think Kerber hit in a three-set match that went to the distance, 7-6 in the third?
Eight.
Oh, it's either loads or none.
David's very close.
Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, she hit six winners. And Yastremska hit 40-something. It was just a classic Kerber soaking it up and turning it back. It was incredible to watch the contrast of styles. I must say I was mainly watching Andy Murray, and you know, I was sort of so absorbed with that match, but I made sure to put Kerber on the second screen when that got tight, and that was a good decision. Great atmosphere on that court as well. I think it was on court 17, which is kind of their equivalent of Wimbledon's court 18. You get some really good matches and atmospheres out there.
That's two winners per set.
Yeah.
That's pretty good going. I mean, if you went out with the aim of not hitting winners, you would do well to sort of not accidentally
so much
hit that many.
Self-control. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not going to hit a winner there.
Yeah. And yet, last week, she was hitting loads of winners. I suppose it depends
she's
the
adaptable.
Type of the opponent she's up against. So that match followed Ozhie Aliassime winning three tie breaks against Evgeny Donskoy. I mean, you're right, that court 17, they had some fun today. I mean, the atmosphere out in the courts where I think they weren't necessarily ticketed, and there's just a general feel, isn't there, of people just being thrilled to be back and to be able to see these matches again and these players. And Coco Gauff is just becoming a bigger star every time she goes out there. And well, it'll be interesting to see whether she can keep handling it, really.
Oh, it felt like the US Open was back after a two-year break today. Mm. I mean, look, they did an amazing job to put the event on last year, and there were some great matches and moments at that tournament. Dan Evans kind of got it right, didn't he? Well, it was kind of iconic. But it wasn't really the US Open that we know and love, and there were little elements of that today. Just, you know, those crowds of people queuing up outside Arthur Ashe Stadium is to get in for the night session is such a US Open image, and the crowd and the atmospheres, it just had that buzz back, which was great.
I didn't have FOMO last year. This year, the FOMO is killing me.
And I'm worried about every photo I send Catherine at the moment.
And you're in Salford, so... Yeah.
I don't know, all my little
I've had to mute some people on Instagram. They're too pleased to be in New York.
British tennis players aren't. I think five of the six who played today lost. Heather Watson, Cameron Norrie, Harriet Dart, Andy Murray. Johanna Konta didn't get out there. She was injured. But Dan Evans won. He won in four sets against Thiago Monteiro, and that was pretty close for a while as well. But he's actually got a really good draw. He plays Marcus Chiron of the States next, and John Isner's been removed from that section as well. I mean, he's not playing that well, is he, Evans? I think at the moment, and I don't think he feels that great physically right now. But still, you can get a bit of a run going, can't you? And we'll see whether that happens for him. What else have we had today?
On the Keys-Stevens match, I was really quite uplifted by that. I went in with quite low expectations based on everything we said yesterday about where their games are at the moment. And I thought they both played pretty well, actually. It's the best I've seen Madison Keys play in a long time. I've not seen loads of her matches, but that second set was a reminder of how good she can be when everything's kind of perfectly calibrated in her game. The ease with which she can hit winners and hit through the court and the power she has is astonishing. And it all came together in that second set in a way that I just haven't seen from her for a while. And I think for her to be hitting those shots, she has to be moving well. She has to be in the right position to hit them. And that was very apparent today. And she should have won. To be honest, she should have won the match. I thought she was the better player. She had a lead in the third set tie break, and then that was when the misses came, you know. And then she had some incredible shots to save match points, but she couldn't take her own chances, and she was pretty frustrated by the end with those unforced errors. And Sloane Stephens was solid, and it's a good win for her, and she gets a shot at Coco Gauff. But I was left feeling really quite buoyed by that match, by how well they played. You know, obviously we'd just like them to be doing it in second weeks rather than first weeks, because that's their talent level.
Yeah, crowd were lapping it up, weren't they? We had a retirement today for Marin Cilic. First time he's retired in his whole career. I mean, he won the first two sets on tiebreaks against Philip Kohlschreiber, who was about 68. And then it was 2-love in the fifth when Cilic pulled the cord. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any idea what was wrong with him?
It was a neck injury. That's all I know. More than 800 matches played on tour. And his first retirement. I mean, my thoughts very much go out to Marin Cilic, but two sort of 80-year-olds playing one another and one having to retire is not a movement-friendly match, is it?
Yeah, sometimes you think tennis is moving on, and then the next moment, Marin Cilic is playing Philip Kohlschreiber. Trivia question. How many Grand Slam champions are left in the men's draw?
One.
And day one is not even over. Marin Cilic and Andy Murray were the only other...
It's pretty stark, isn't it?
Novak Djokovic starts his attempt to win the calendar slam tomorrow night against Holger Vitus Nodskov-Roon.
Okay.
Of Denmark.
We're doing that, are we?
We are. Yeah, I've just done it. That's the first night session match on the Ash Court tomorrow. After that, it's Bianca Andreescu against Victoria Golubic. In the daytime session, it all starts with Zverev against Querrey. Barty against Zvonareva follows that. There's been a bit of a court shift, hasn't there? Because Emma Raducanu's opponent, Jennifer Brady, has, as I predicted, been unable to finish her match or even start it. So that's going to take place on court 17 now instead, with Raducanu up against Stephanie Vogler, who I don't know much about. Do you?
She's from Switzerland.
She beat Jodie Barrage in qualifying, but lost to Anna Konyu, and then came through as a lucky loser.
Well, I'm going for a Raducanu win again.
Bold, David, bold.
Thanks very much. What else we got going on tomorrow? It is... we got a night session match here. Oh, no, an afternoon session match with Denis Shapovalov on the Louis Armstrong court. Belinda Bencic is playing, Karolina Pliskova. And then the night session over there on Armstrong is Risk against Pavlyuchenkova, Fritz against de Minaur. Well, that could be quite a good contest. Iga Świątek's on the grandstand. And, Riley Opelka. Fantastic. He starts court 17. But
they've prepared the courts especially for him. So No pressure, Riley.
Got to deliver.
I mean, I'm sure Serena Williams was involved in that court speed decision making as well. But
you'd hope so.
It'd be a bit of an oversight to just sort of leave her out, wouldn't it? I mean, crikey, what time's it going to finish tonight? It's three games all at the moment in Osaka's match on the Ash court.
Do we know what fate befell the opening ceremony featuring music from Moulin Rouge musical?
Well, there was quite a delay before this match started.
Yeah, but that was to get the crowds out, the daytime crowds out and the nighttime crowds in. You can't have Moulin Rouge performing while crowds are milling around. Presumably they would have wanted, you know, full attention. So I don't know whether that fell by the wayside or whether they proceeded with planned Moulin Rouge. If anybody sat through it and can tell us, let us know.
They will.
I've invited the haters. I don't hate Moulin Rouge for anybody. I mean, it's not my personal taste, but I don't hate it either. I'm just
curious.
I'm genuinely curious. Yeah, it's not Phil Collins singing in the air tonight, is it? That was an opening ceremony.
I'm quite into Catherine Whittaker's musical playlists at the moment. Worked my way through a few of them before play started today.
I shared my getting pumped for the first day of a slam playlist with David today, and
David ran with it.
Yeah, big time.
I didn't know who any of the people were at all. But I got quite into it.
Yeah. David is a DJ Shadow fan. Who knew?
Yeah.
Didn't even
know who it was until today. And now I'm into it.
Who else are you into, David?
I don't know. All I know is I like House of Pain Jump Around.
You've forgotten them, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, and what was that one? 65 something.
65 Days of Static. Yep.
I mean, who comes up with the names of these things? Who's come up with that? And why?
Let's move on, David. We're losing listeners.
Right. It's like racehorses, isn't it? You know, give them a weird name for the hell of it. Right. Well, that's probably about it for a tennis podcast on day one of the US Open. Anything else caught your eye? Any interesting chat? Any interesting rumour? Any predictions that we don't know about that need to be shared? I think we're done for the day. What's Billie Jean been doing?
Ask Matt.
Billie Jean went for a walk, came back very, very tired, had numerous sessions in the teepee, numerous cuddle sessions, ate a whole bowl of chicken. She had a great time.
She's got the diet of a weightlifter.
Magnificent. Oh,
and
excellent.
Now she's just curled up on the sofa.
Excellent.
Wanting it all to be over.
Have you got a stat for your newsletter for tomorrow, Matt?
Yes.
Good. You don't have to tell me what it is. I just want to know so that we can just prepare the listeners, because today's took him 2 hours. All right? That means you've got to read the thing. Get on our newsletter list. Where the show notes have got the link. We'll have a new prediction for tomorrow. I think I got mine right today. I think I said Carlos Alcaraz would beat Cameron Norrie.
You did, yeah, and he just finished beating him in straight sets.
Crowd wouldn't it, weren't they? They were into Alcaraz.
I'll tell you, he looks blooming good.
He's got a serious game, and I think he overwhelmed Norrie from the bits I saw.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all coming your way tomorrow in the newsletter, as is another edition of the Tennis Podcast. And, yeah, can't wait for it. Day two, the US Open, if it's going to carry on like this. It's been excellent. Our mascot for this US Open is Francis, the wonderful cat, owned by Drew and David. Our mascots are Rogue for me, Scousel Mousel for Matt, and Zeus for Catherine, with Billie Jean King sponsoring Billie Jean the dog. And Matt, we've got some shout-outs today.
We do. For Kieran Kelly.
Good name.
Probably might, a singer.
Might Kieran be Irish?
Very possible, I think.
Or of Irish heritage.
Mm.
Very good name.
We have Neil, backer 1,269.
Is there any chance that's your dad?
No.
Oh.
Right, Neil.
Because I know he specifically wrote his surname.
Thanks good very on. Much, Neil, backer 1,269. Much appreciated.
Yes.
And we also have Mandy. And we often get people wanting to know where people getting their shout-outs are from. And Mandy actually did
Mandy
tell me.
Is from a Barry Manilow song. That's where Mandy's from.
She's from Fairfax in Virginia, USA. Oh.
I've never heard of that place before. I thought Fairfax was a media outlet in Australia.
It can be many things, David.
Thanks very much, Mandy. Awesome to have your support.
Thank you, Mandy.
Right.
You came and you gave without taking.
Yeah. Three lots of shout-outs. Delighted. We'll have some more tomorrow, as we will have more chat as well. I wonder whether Naomi Osaka will get the job done tonight. 4-3 up in the first set. A bit nerve-wracking. But anyway, we'll find out and we'll let you know tomorrow. Speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.